You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. And for the rest of the hour, another topic Jules Verne might have enjoyed. Now, depending on how you look at it, it's either a journey to the center of the Earth or a trip 20,000 leagues under the sea. You make up your mind. I'll describe it to you. Last month, researchers with the Ocean Drilling Program finished a four-month expedition, a project that resulted in a hole drilled over 1,400 meters deep, drilled into the crust below the ocean floor, and it brought back samples from deep inside the Earth's crust. Joining me now to talk about that, how they did it and why they wanted to do it, is Jay Miller. He was the expedition project manager for that most recent trip and is a scientist with the Integrated Ocean Drilling Program based at Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas. He joins us from KAMU there. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira.
So is it 20,000 or is it journey to the center of the Earth? Or it doesn't matter? Yeah,
I suppose it's a little bit of both. It's not really a journey to the center of the Earth, but it certainly is.
How close to the center of the Earth did you get?
Oh, not very close, Ira. The center of the Earth is about 6,400 kilometers down, and we got just over a kilometer. So,
And why go there?
Well, we were investigating how mountains form on the seafloor. We know that along the plate tectonics creates mountains on these spreading ridges in the center of the ocean. And there was a place where one of these mountains was exposed, and they grow very quickly, and they grow usually on land when mountains grow very quickly. It's owing to volcanism, a lot of volcanic activity. But there's little or no evidence of volcanic activity of these, and we think this is just where the Earth's tectonic plates are just being rent apart and dragging up rocks from very deep in the Earth crust and exposing them on the seafloor. And so our project was to look at how this mountain building process takes place.
This is in that rift right in the mid-Atlantic underwater,
right?
Sort of like, it looks like a seam that goes down.
Exactly.
And it is a seam, I guess.
It is. It's where the North American plate and the European plate are spreading apart from each other.
And so you have lava, a hot rock that comes up and then cools and forms new ocean?
In some of these spreading ridges, that's exactly how they work, in the East Pacific, for example. Mm-hmm. But the one that's in the Atlantic, it spreads very slowly because there's not much volcanic activity there. Right. All of the spreading is being accommodated by just stretching and cracking and breaking apart of the plates along big faults. And so there is some volcanism, some lava erupted, but not near as much in the Atlantic Ocean as there is in the Pacific.
So you're building, as you said, new mountains, and you said they were growing very quickly. Is that quickly on a geologic time scale?
On a geologic time scale, the place where we were drilling was about 3,500 meters tall that was built in less than the last 2 million years.
Wow. 1-800-989-8255 is our number, talking with Jay Miller. If you think 2 million years is a long time, you don't know how slow the Earth is moving. And how high do we think these mountains can go? Or do the mountains spread out and change, or do they grow upwards?
They do. As they move away from these spreading ridges, their topography is muted a little bit with time, and they move away. But they range, as I said, up to 3,500, 4,000 meters tall right near the ridge axis.
It's almost as high as the Rockies, something like that, right?
It's approaching that height, that's right.
Yeah. And did you hit the mantle when you dug down there?
Well, one of the exciting things that the science advisory structure for this drilling program, this international drilling program, was really interested in was in most of the world's oceans, the tool we use to detect how thick the crust is are these seismic waves, how fast they pass through the Earth. And in most places, we believe the thickness of the crust is about 6 to 10 kilometers in the world's oceans. We had indications from our seismic data that was collected before we drilled there that in this location, velocities that looked like fresh mantle material was less than a kilometer below the seafloor. And so that was an additional benefit besides seeing how these mountains form, was potentially the first time to drill into rocks that were representative of the mantle but had not been altered by interaction with seawater. Fresh mantle, drilling the transition from the Earth's crust into the mantle.
Mm. Now, I'm trying to get a vision of how difficult it is to drill. So, first to go into the ocean and go down and hit the rocks and then keep. You have a ship that's floating on the surface. How do you keep it still so the drill bit works? You know,
I well, mean, if,
Those of us with home drills, we have enough trouble in the basement. But you're on the ship that's floating, getting hit by waves, things like that.
Absolutely. It does present additional challenges. It makes our drilling pretty time-consuming. But we have a computer-controlled system that drives thrusters all around the ship, and we navigate with GPS. And that allows us to keep our location over a drilling target on the seafloor within just a few meters for as long as we need to stay there. We run a drill string down. In this case, it was 1,600 meters of water, but we've drilled in water depths as great as 6,000 meters.
Wow.
And the biggest problem of trying to drill into the ocean bedrock is that the drill bits we use, they only can drill for about maybe 100 feet a day. And after about 3 days, so that's 30 meters a day, you can do the math, after about 3 days, the bits wear out, and we have to change the bits if we want to keep drilling deeper.
And you're not going to Sears for those bits, obviously.
No, we have to carry all the bits with us, but the bigger challenge is that if we're drilling into sediment, for example, we can just drop a funnel around the pipe, pull the pipe back, change the bit, and re-enter that funnel. But if we're drilling into the basement, into the hard rock that's on the volcanic rock or the basement that's exposed on the seafloor, there's no way to embed a funnel to be able to get back in that hole. So for the history of scientific ocean drilling, 35 years now, we've drilled 120 holes or so into basement, and only maybe half a dozen of those go deeper than 100 meters. Okay. And we finally developed the technology to be able to embed a reentry funnel in the bedrock using a hydraulically powered hammer that just drives the funnel into the seafloor. Now, this is the first time we've employed that on this last expedition, which tells us now we can go just about anywhere in the world's oceans and start drilling much deeper holes.
Who's paying for this? Is this a multinational effort?
Absolutely. We have a good portion of our funding comes from the National Science Foundation. We also have several international partners. The Japanese Science and Technology Foundation supports part of the program, and the European Science Foundation as well. So it's a collaboration of 18 or 20 countries around the world that all contribute to scientific ocean drilling.
Let's go to the phones. Gary in Eagle, Idaho. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to get some of the updated information since I was on the Glomar Challenger in 1971 when they made the first entry down in the Caribbean using a sonar that I was the project engineer on. We put the sonar down through the drill string after the drill string has been pulled up and a new bit put on and put down within about, 60 feet of the bottom of the ocean, and then started looking for that funnel. And when I called, then got on and listened, I heard a lot more detail of the new method of using the hammer system to drive it into the hard material. But I'm just quite interested since I was on board that ship and was responsible for the reentry sonar when we made that reentry on the 5 o'clock in the morning on December 25th, 1971.
So we have a little bit of history there. Are you surprised by their ability to do this?
Well, I'm not surprised. It's just that I've been with it for so long that I didn't know what was actually taking place, and it's very interesting to have an opportunity to get a little bit of an update.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a teenager, there was something called Project Mohole.
Well, I actually interviewed for a job with Honeywell to work on Project Molehole, and then decided not to work on that job, and later on I ended up working for what's called Edo Western in Salt Lake City, Utah, and they're the ones that I worked for when we developed this reentry sonar.
Jay Miller, you remember Project Molehole?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was a youngster at the time as well. And
how is this different from that?
It's been an evolution. The Molehole project was an ad hoc group of scientists that envisioned drilling a hole all the way through the ocean crust, which eventually became the deep sea drilling project, which used the Glomar Challenger as its drilling vessel from 1968 through 1982 or so, I believe. And then the program evolved and grew and became the Ocean Drilling Program in 1983. That contract ended in 2002, I believe, and now the Integrated Ocean Drilling Program is expanding on the success of all those missions, all the lessons we learned, all the engineering advancements that were made, because we have to take, just as this gentleman said, existing oil field technology and apply it to much deeper water and into drilling into the oceanic basement. And all of that engineering is done by the group that's associated with the program. And so it's been building on the successes of the past that have gotten us to where we are.
Well, what do you actually bring up in the drill bit that tells you what you want to know?
In my case, we're bringing back actually cores. We drill a 10-meter section of core and then use a system of wire lines that go down and latch on to the core and bring it back up to the ship so that we can leave the pipe in the hole and just bring the core back. And then we take samples of that core on board the ship. We have a full suite of laboratory analyses and technicians that we can run to do chemistry, to look at the composition of the rocks, to look at the texture of the materials that we bring back. And then we do a full suite of analysis on those to help us interpret what the rocks are doing or how the Earth has evolved through time.
Well, does it tell you where the rocks have been before or where they're headed to? What can you learn from these things?
Theoretically, both of those things. We can tell what the temperature was that the rocks formed at. We can tell if we're drilling sediments, we can tell from the biotic material that's left in those sediments, the age of the rocks, or the temperature of the oceans at the time. So much of the work we do actually is in paleoclimate studies, is looking at how the Earth's climate has changed over the past several million years. But every now and then, one of the main focuses of ocean drilling is looking at solid Earth dynamics. So about one expedition out of six focuses on the things that I'm working on, which are these solid Earth dynamic issues.
Talking with Jay Miller of the Integrated Ocean Drilling Program on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow, and let's go to the phones again. Let's go to, Joe in Oklahoma City. Hi, Joe.
Thanks for taking my call, Ira.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask, what is the diameter of the hole that they are drilling?
It's 9 7/8 inches is the standard bit geometry that we use for drilling into basement, and the core is about 3 inches around. So we drill a much bigger hole than the actual core that we bring back.
I got to laugh because, you know, you have a drill bit that's 9 7/8 inches. It's just like a drill that I have at home. You know, they can't make it a full inch. It's not a half an inch. It's 9 7/8.
Conventional industry standard size, that's all. We just adapt industry tools to our design.
Some things just don't change. All right, Joe, thanks for calling.
Thanks, sir.
And so how deep can you theoretically go with this?
We can carry about 9 kilometers of drill string on our ship. And so theoretically we can drill a hole. If we're drilling in the same location where we are, we might be able to get a hole 7 or 8 kilometers into basement.
Mm-hmm. 7 or 8.
The problem is keeping the hole open.
Yeah. The Earth is moving, right?
The Earth is moving, and the rocks will get hotter as you go down. The deepest hole we've ever drilled into the basement of the ocean crust goes just over 2 kilometers. And so we're 3/4 of the way there with this hole, but that hole has already started to collapse. It was drilled over several years ago, and that hole has started to collapse in a little bit. So there is, with time, it's a time-sensitive issue. If we're going to go back and reoccupy and deepen this hole, we probably need to do it in the next few years.
Oh, so you think it's got a lifetime of a year or two before
caves
in on itself?
It probably tends to be unstable. It's in a tectonically active environment where
right.
there are earthquakes and that sort of thing. So hopefully for several years it'll be open, but it's just a matter of time before it will eventually collapse.
Hi, Tom in Iowa City. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. Hey, I was interested. This is a little bit off the subject, not much. drilling for geothermal energy, whether it's on the ocean floor or on land, what is the likelihood that that could be done? And
so how far down would you have to drill a hole to put a pipe of water and pull out hot water for your home is what you're asking?
You know, of course, in Yellowstone...
Right.
You know,
it's pretty close to the surface there.
Right.
Well, let me get an answer because we're running out of time. Jay Miller, what do you think about that?
It's already done. In fact, yeah. In Iceland, they use geothermal water, and the hammer that we developed to drill into the seafloor was based on a design that they've used in Iceland to drill geothermal wells. There they used a pneumatic hammer, which we can't use in the ocean, an air-driven hammer. But that technology was developed directly from where they're actively tapping geothermal systems in Iceland right now.
Would it be easier to find the same kind of system on the ground instead of doing it on the ocean? And does something like that exist?
Geothermal systems?
No, I'm sorry. I'm going back to
the type of mountain building.
Yeah.
I guess part of what we're trying to do is they do exist on land, but we have problems with erosion and with other types of longevity. Continental crust is very old and very altered, where the seafloor, where we're drilling, geologically speaking, as I said, it's very young. And so we have fewer complications, if you will, by drilling in the seafloor, plus the fact that if we're trying to get a section drilled through most of the crust, ocean crust is only, as I said, 6 to 10 kilometers thick, where continental crust is 50, 60, 70 kilometers thick.
One last question. Are you going to run out of money? I know I see money is being shoveled around in the government now and things that have low quote-unquote priorities. Is this something being threatened?
I don't think it's being threatened. I think we have a commitment from certainly the National Science Foundation and our international partners that they recognize the impact and the importance of scientific ocean drilling. And the contract that we currently have is for 10 years that just started in 2003. We would like to see that extended. And as long as we continue producing results, I think the funding agencies are going to be excited about the science that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
You're welcome. Jay Miller, Expedition Project Manager on this drilling trip. He's a scientist with the Integrated Ocean Drilling Program based at Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas.